The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they all saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It is Memorial Day weekend. Gives us a federal holiday tomorrow, such that we can honor and thank all those military men and women who have done so much for us, most especially laid down their lives for us. On the local calendar, that means today is race day. On the liturgical calendar, the Sunday after Pentecost every year is the Solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. That's what we celebrate today. And we could make an argument that it is different than almost any other feast the church celebrates. When you think about it, most feasts are about what God has done for us. So Christmas, he became flesh for us. On Good Friday, he died for us. On Easter, he rose for us. Even last week on Pentecost, he gave the Spirit to us. But this feast is not what he has done for us. Today is about who God is, his identity as Trinity, one God, three divine persons. And we only know this because he has revealed this to us. I'll give a caveat and say that we could, and that philosophers have, including Aristotle, come to the conclusion that God exists only by human reason. We don't need God to reveal that to us. We can come to that conclusion using reason. We can come to the conclusion, like Aristotle and other philosophers did, that there is only one God, not multiple gods. But we could not have discovered on our own initiative that God is three persons in one God. He has revealed this to us. In the Old Testament, it's only in a veiled way. So even actually in the first chapter of Genesis, you get a veiled sense where God is creating the world and he speaks his word, and then the Spirit hovering over the waters. Even when he, on the sixth day, creates Adam and Eve, when he says, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." Let us. He's speaking in the plural. He's not speaking to the angels. The angels aren't creating Adam and Eve. So there even we get a glimpse there's a plurality within the unity of God. But we skip ahead to the Gospels. This is where it becomes pronounced or evident that God is a Trinity. In a veiled way, again, think about the Annunciation. God the Father sends the angel to speak on his behalf. The Spirit descends upon Mary, and the Son is conceived within her womb. So there we have the Trinity there at the Annunciation. It's most evident at the baptism of Jesus. He emerges from the waters of the Jordan. The voice of God the Father is heard. The Spirit descends in the form of a dove. Very similarly, it happens at the Transfiguration. We could say God puts kind of a cherry on top here in the Gospel today. This is the very end of the Gospel of Matthew. It's known as the Great Commission. Christ is giving the church its marching orders, but it's very specific, right? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Not the names, but the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so we know there is a unity within the Trinity. If you scour the Scriptures all day long today, you will not find the word Trinity. It's actually in about the year 200, the theologian Tertullian creates the word. He combines the Latin words for one and three, puts them together. There has to be a word that kind of gives nomenclature to the mystery which we contemplate. And the theologians give clarity that God the Father, for all eternity, has begotten the Son, who is co-eternal and equal. The Father gives himself in a perfect act of love to the Son, and in reciprocal nature, the Son returns and gives a perfect gift of self to the Father. The love between them is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit spirates from the Father and the Son. An eternal exchange of love. This is the inner life of God. In the 1300s is when the church says, okay, we need a feast, a day dedicated to this great mystery of who God is. And I think that's important for a couple of reasons. First of all, because I think you can all see and find it evident that we cannot love and serve a God we don't know. If we get God wrong, we have a mistaken or warped idea of who God is, we will not know how to serve him correctly or hear his voice. So we do need to know who God is, even above and beyond what he has done. If we know who he is, what he's done makes a heck of a lot more sense. But in a secondary way, but just as important maybe, on a feast like today, where we focus on who God is, we actually learn who we are in the process. At least by human standards, we as a human race have done some pretty impressive things. We have created whole civilizations, cultures, cities, art, buildings, technology. We as Christians have built parishes and schools and hospitals and served the poor and the sick, the dying. We've done a lot. But that's not primarily how God sees us or knows us. He doesn't see what we've done first. He sees who we are, or maybe rather, who we have become. The key to understanding who we are is found in the second reading today, which comes from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. He tells us, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. You have received a spirit of adoption through whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. This is not just St. Paul's idea. St. John writes about it in his first letter where he writes, see what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is because that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. We are children of God. This mystery of our adoption by the Trinity should fill us with awe, reverence, joy, and peace. This happens at our baptism. And I know for many of us that happens when we're infants. We have no recall of memory of that moment. But by the waters of baptism, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we die with Christ and we rise with him. We are grafted onto Christ, and thereby we are adopted by God the Father. We share in the sonship of Christ. He is the eternal Son. We get a share in that through our baptism. And this is crucial for us to understand who we are over and above what we do. Because I think it's a modern phenomenon, at least more prevalent in the modern age, that people have identity crisis. There's something that's taken away from them, some event in life, and they don't even know who they are anymore. And brothers and sisters, we need not an identity crisis. We know who we are, even above our vocation, even above our profession, even above our skills, talents, accomplishments. Everything else is secondary and tertiary to who we are. You are sons and daughters of a Most High God, and he loved you into existence, redeemed you out of love, that looks upon you primarily as his sons and daughters. This actually gives our vocation as wife, husband, father, mother, grandmother, grandfather, whatever, our professional life, all this gains meaning when I recognize I am above all else a beloved son of God, a beloved daughter of God. And I'd like to challenge you this coming week, each day when you pray, and we should pray every day, sincerely and profoundly and intentionally. I'm going to ask you to address God as Father first. Maybe that's not what you do normally. It's okay to pray to any member of the Trinity. It's one God. But to speak to God the Father recognizes, first of all, that you are his beloved son and daughter. And this should bring you delight and joy and peace. And this should give you identity. We can make the claim that every Sunday is Trinity Sunday. We began with the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. My greeting was the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Here in a second, we'll do the creed, which references all three members of the Trinity. We could go on and on, but the church sees wisdom that it takes a second to pause and ponder the mystery of who he is above and beyond what he has done. And now we've seen the value of not just knowing who God is, but sharing in his divine life. A reflection from a bishop in Europe this morning I came across says that by grace, the life of God pulsates in our created being. It is made manifest to us in deep longing. We recognize that longing by an impulse in our hearts that cries, Abba, Father. We rediscover ourselves as children, longing for our Father's love. Our God is a God who delights in sharing himself. He pours himself out, gives himself freely, and receives with open arms the love we show him in return. We can only love him properly when we know who we are.